Afternoon. It's 4:30 and 90 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Tanner Boyd.
Now I'm Ashley Chapman.
A lot of folks in construction are beginning to feel as if we're seeing some black clouds on that horizon 18, 24 months out. And that is long, as you know, been a bellwether for our industry.
State Senator Chris McDaniel is pleased to see forecasts calling for increased construction activity, but is worried about sustaining that recovery.
Police in Carlisle are investigating an accidental drowning.
And the annual U.S. 60-yard sale kicks off tomorrow.
In sports, the Bengals' first-round draft pick may be back sooner than expected.
But Luke has the stocks.
And it'll be cloudy tonight with some isolated showers and thunderstorms. The complete forecast after this news.
WYMT is reporting that Yellow Creek Road in Knott County has been reopened after a train derailment late Wednesday night. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says no one was injured in the mishap shortly before 11 o'clock. VCO's fire chief tells the hazard station that crews at the scene are waiting on equipment from Nicholasville to put the train back on the tracks.
Police are investigating an apparent accidental drowning near Carlisle. Shannon Carroll reports.
Authorities say the accident happened at the Licking River off of Abner's Mill Road. The wife of the victim noticed he was missing and found his fishing pole and their dogs. The man's body has been recovered, but his identity has not been released at this time. I'm Shannon Carroll.
A 67-year-old Mount Sterling man is in police custody following his arrest Wednesday night on multiple charges of rape, kidnapping, and sodomy. WKYT reports that Ronald Triplett is also accused of possessing a forged instrument. City police are said to have worked with officials in Michigan who assisted with the investigation of Triplett and his arrest.
Ashland Police and the Boyd County Sheriff's Department have made another drug bust near the Ashland Transportation Center. The Independent reports that the two agencies staked out the bus station early Wednesday morning. A traffic stop was conducted nearby after authorities reported they saw three individuals get off a bus and enter a car. They say a search of the vehicle yielded marijuana, oxycodone, and other controlled substances. 40-year-old Willie Bradley, 38-year-old Curtis Holcomb, and 27-year-old Siobhan Whitfield are charged with first-degree trafficking. Bradley and Whitfield are also charged with marijuana possession.
Kentucky's sales tax revenues since 2014 have grown about as much as they ever have. That's according to Deputy State Budget Director Greg Harkenrider. He says after revenues plummeted three out of the previous 5 years, sales tax collections increased by 3.6% 2 years ago and have been rising ever since. Last year's increase of 6%, says Harkenrider, was one of the best ever.
That may not seem like much, but if you look at sales tax data, that's huge growth in the sales tax. The only year in our book that you can compare that to was fiscal 2006, when it grew exactly 6% as well. 6% following 4.4 and 3.6 is just a good upward surprise.
However, Harkenrider is quick to add the rate of growth is unsustainable. He says when it crashes, it could crash hard.
The chairman of the State Budget Committee is encouraged by recent state revenue growth and projections of increased construction activity over the next two quarters. However, Republican Chris McDaniel sees some storm clouds on the horizon. McDaniel owns a concrete company and is a member of the Northern Kentucky Home Builders Association. He admits that things look pretty good now.
I mean, I know we're hiring, but I think we ought to take note. One of the bellwethers for construction employment has always been Caterpillar and the results on their construction equipment side. And they've reported 14 straight months of declining sales in their North American market.
McDaniel says many construction businesses are anticipating a softening economy in 18 to 24 months.
The Ohio Department of Transportation Wednesday held an open house to give people a preview of the $429 million Portsmouth Bypass Project, which is expected to be completed in 2018. Spokeswoman Kathleen Fuller says it's close to halfway done now. She tells WSAZ the highway that connects westbound traffic on U.S. 52 near Portsmouth to northbound U.S. 23 outside of Lucasville will fundamentally change traffic patterns in the region.
In the end, we're not only saving travel time, we're going to improve safety, we're going to help the mobility, and we're also hoping to open up this area for economic development, which is key, and that's really important for this project and this area.
Fuller says ODOT is building the bypass in concert with the Portsmouth Gateway Group, which will maintain the highway after it opens.
State Senator Robin Webb says she'll continue her efforts to pass a bicycle safety bill in the Kentucky General Assembly. The Grayson Democrat is the sponsor of legislation that would require motorists to stay 3 feet away from bicycle riders who are also sharing the road. Webb says it's essential because more bikes are sharing the pavement these days.
As the economy in eastern Kentucky has been in decline, I've seen more. I was in Hazard last weekend. I saw several people with grocery bags on their bicycle. So folks are going to be utilizing them out of necessity, out of recreation.
However, the chairman of the House Transportation Committee doubts that a 3-foot buffer law is enforceable. Hubert Collins is a Democrat from Johnson County.
How are you going to prove that they were 3 feet away? How are you going to prove that in court if you went to court? It would be one person's word against the other. Now, that causes a problem for me to try to determine that they're 3 feet away from that bicycle.
Representative Johnson and Senator Webb discussed the issue Tuesday during a legislative hearing in Frankfort.
3 years into a 4-year fish habitat restoration project at Cave Run Lake, a state official says the effort has gone very well. Dr. Karen Waldrop is Deputy Commissioner of the Kentucky Division of Fish and Wildlife Resources. She says Christmas trees, wooden pallets, recycled cable spools, and other environmentally safe materials were used to build sites around the lake to improve the habitat and attract fish. Waldrop testified this afternoon before the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Natural Resources.
So far, we've put in over 4,000 structures at 50 different sites. And all of these sites, by the way, they're actually GPSed, and we put them on our website for our anglers to go and find, and they are absolutely loving it. They're going out there all the time and just so excited with all the fish that they're catching because they can actually go to these spots where we have these structures and are catching fish and having a great time.
Waldrop says the Cave Run initiative will pay dividends for fish and anglers for many years to come. She says when the local project is completed, habitat restoration will begin at another lake.
Crews are hustling to finish work on a $28 million residence hall project on the Morehead State University campus. Rick Linio is MSU's Assistant Vice President of Facilities Management. According to Linio, around 150 workers are on site daily, putting the finishing touches on the 550-bed Andrews Hall.
We're still looking at a late September opening right now. So, but again, it's just a lot of work. You're talking 261 rooms to get finished, and so they're laying carpet and they're finishing up painting. They're getting all the hardware in as far as the doors and the all the bathrooms and everything else.
Work on the project began just over a year ago. The students scheduled to live in Andrews Hall will be temporarily housed elsewhere on campus while the facility is being completed.
Lexington leaders have been exploring new homes for City Hall for decades, but Tuesday's announcement that the Central Library is also considering new digs caught some by surprise. Tuesday, Lexington CAO Sally Hamilton and Central Library Director Ann Hammond released a joint statement indicating the city is interested in purchasing the library property. Hammond says the iconic 27-year-old building off East Main Street has served as a citadel of culture since it opened, but patrons are migrating towards new digital offerings and more collaborative projects.
So what we're looking for is a space that is as flexible as possible so that it can grow and change as we grow and change. The current building is pretty much, it is what it is.
Hammond says one of the library's top criteria for any new location is accessibility, meaning it's easy to get to by on car or foot with plenty of convenient and safe parking. If the city goes forward with the move, she assures library visitors the Central Library won't be moving far.
With the carefree days of summer vacation drawing to a close, Kentucky students are preparing to head back to class. However, one youth advocate says the state's education system is facing deeper problems than many politicians let on. Terry Brooks with Kentucky Youth Advocates says the data often paints a more sobering picture. He points to a recent study that shows Kentucky students struggling to keep pace with national benchmarks.
I really worry that we as a state have decided that we're just going to happy talk education. We're going to act like everything is fine. And yet the national results indicate that almost 2 out of 3 fourth graders cannot meet minimal national standards in reading. More than 7 out of 10 eighth graders can't meet minimal national standards in math.
Brooks stresses the need to zero in on the right set of accountability standards and acknowledge the evolving demands placed on teachers. He says with more than a fourth of Kentucky students living in poverty, the state should explore providing more school-based health care and other types of support.
If it's not broken, don't fix it. That's the mindset of Moorhead's new police chief. A 12-year veteran of the department, including the last two as captain, Derek Blevins took over the chief's post on Monday. At this point, Blevins is not planning a lot of changes in the operations of the MPD. Blevins is the third chief that the Moorhead Police Department has had in the last 8 years. With eight more years until he can retire, he expects to be around for a while.
The Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police investigated a double fatality in Fleming County last month. It was among 51 traffic collisions in the 11-county region to which troopers responded in late July. That compares with 48 accidents in June and no fatalities. The Moorhead Post issued 30 DUI citations last month, compared to 43 in June, and troopers made 249 criminal arrests in July. They made 256 the previous month.
Analysts predict U.S. Senate candidates Jim Gray and Rand Paul will be the biggest draws at the annual Fancy Farm Picnic event this weekend. As Josh James reports, the lively partisan political dust-up could be a proving ground for Lexington's mayor.
It's one thing to speak before supporters or polite debate audiences, but Fancy Farm represents a different kind of test for politicians. Can they keep their cool when the normal rules of decorum no longer apply? Democratic consultant Jared Smith tells CN2 observers will be closely watching Gray's performance.
You can't win an election at Fancy Farm, but you can lose an election at Fancy Farm, as we've always said. And so this is Jim Gray's first time. So let's see how he handles it. I'm sure he'll handle it well. And also to see, you know, how Rand Paul is received. I think the race is a little bit closer than people think.
But Republican consultant Les Fugate suspects Senator Rand Paul will brush his opponent to the side and train his fire on a bigger target.
I would expect Rand Paul, frankly, to ignore Jim Gray. He'll probably focus most of his comments on Hillary Clinton. And Jim Gray, you know, he's going to use his businessman message to try to paint himself as something different.
In addition to Gray and Paul, Senator Mitch McConnell, Governor Matt Bevin, and State Senator Ralph Alvarado are slated to speak. Notably absent from the lineup are Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear and 6th District Congressman Andy Barr. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A former Kentucky Secretary of State says the two candidates for president are using the same strategy for the fall election. Trey Grayson says both Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton are trying to convince voters that the other one is unfit for office. Grayson made his comments on CN2's Pure Politics.
The reality is the strengths that each of them have, the top strengths that both Trump and Clinton have, is the other person's weaknesses. And so Trump can say, look, you know, if you want change, and the country clearly wants change, if you look at the data, he's going to argue, you know, she's status quo. And conversely, she's going to say he's just not capable, he doesn't have the capacity, the temperament to be president of the United States.
Grayson now works as president of the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. He's a former director of the Institute of Politics at Harvard University.
A former Moorhead State University professor says she'll no longer head a nonprofit agency that she founded to help reunite U.S. parents with children who've been kidnapped and taken to foreign nations. Noelle Hunter says the demands of her new job as the executive director of the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety dictate that she move into more of a supportive role with the iStand network. Hunter began iStand a couple of years ago during her battle to get her daughter back from her ex-husband who'd taken her to the West African nation of Mali in 2011. She says she's proud of the progress it's made since then.
More parents are believing that actually their kids can come home because they're seeing parents who can push through their own pain to press our government and other nations to work for it. And so we've had a lot of success. We've seen legislation pass. We've seen children come home.
Hunter says members of iStand's board of directors will take charge of the organization's day-to-day operations.
A historic landmark in Morgan County, recently damaged for a second time, has seen some progress in its recovery. West Liberty's Doughboy was originally damaged during a 2012 tornado, then again earlier this year as crews attempted to move it for road construction. Elliott County sculptor Sam McKinney has been conducting the repairs. He spoke with the Herald Leader.
Wasn't grabbed a hold of properly. Should have been lifted from under the base as a whole. And I think, from my understanding, it was strapped and just lifted from about halfway up under the arms, I think, and backpack.
Another issue has arisen since the damage took place. The Public Properties Commission has decided to build a new base for the Doughboy. Many Morgan County veterans consider its original base to be part of the monument.
The 6th annual Trail Run Against Hunger will be held this Saturday at Greenbow Lake State Park. Hosted by River City's Harvest, the run is a fundraiser for the nonprofit organization and its 39 partner agencies. According to Executive Director Brittany Hoback, River City's does receive funding from United Way, but the amount has been dwindling over the years.
We don't have a very big budget, and this fundraiser, you know, really does help us go throughout the year, you know, letting everyone know that there is a need in our community for our organization, and letting them know that when they come out and participate in our run, that they're really helping us fund our major fundraiser throughout the year.
Registration starts at 7:30 a.m. with the run beginning at 8.
The annual U.S. 60 yard sale will kick off this Friday. The rummage sale starts in Boyd County and ends in Rowan County. Grayson Area Chamber of Commerce Maggie Duncan says the yard sale helps boost local economy while giving visitors the opportunity to learn more about the community.
The restaurants, from the gas stations to our department stores here in town, antique shops. It's a good way to get out and get involved in the community. You'll run into people maybe you haven't seen in a long time.
Duncan says the sale offers a wide variety of finds, ranging from teacups to antique cars. She encourages bargain hunters to be extra cautious when pulling on and off the road. Taking a look at your weather for tonight, it will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms and lows around 70. Friday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs in the upper 80s. And Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid-80s. Temperatures for the surrounding area, it's 89 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg, 86 in Inez. Lexington and Moorhead are sitting at 90 degrees, and it is 91 degrees in Winchester.
447, you are listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Tanner Boyd here with Ashley Chapman, and we're glad you're tuned in this afternoon. On our feature segment, a Moorhead State police officer who was involved in a serious motorcycle crash earlier this year is gradually getting back in the swing of things.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I've been to the doctor. I think I've got one more big appointment left, but they've already checked it out once. They're just kind of doing an extra check on it. And whenever I get that done, I should be clear to go. But as far as everything else, I've been feeling really good.
That's 35-year-old Anthony Dalton, a sergeant with the Moorhead State Police Department. On May 23rd, as he was leaving his shift, Dalton lost control of his motorcycle, ran it off the road, struck an embankment, and was thrown nearly 30 feet, the result of which was some brain damage.
A lot of it was memory, that whole day that I did have the accident. I don't remember any of that. There were some bits and pieces of work that kind of come to me afterwards, but as far as the ride to work, the ride home, whatever, the accident itself, I don't remember anything about.
And because of that, no one is really sure what caused the accident. Still, Dalton feels lucky.
I've been doing this, you know, working in police work for a long time, and there's very seldom that you ever see a motorcycle accident that you don't have some major injury or death. And, I mean, I feel very blessed. God was watching over me.
During the recovery process, Sergeant Dalton spent time at UK Medical Center and Cardinal Hill Rehabilitation Hospital before being sent home. He thinks a widely cast support net that things went as well as they did.
They said that almost everybody that has a brain injury ends up with depression. They said it's just part of the brain healing. But I never did. I mean, I knew I was lucky to be alive. You know, I'm not saying that it couldn't have been there if the circumstances had been right. But I wasn't just, you know, at home, not able to drive. I mean, I had friends and family that took me anywhere I needed to go. I had some friends that kept me busy. And I just stayed constantly busy.
Dalton is now back at the station doing some desk work, but he's pretty confident it won't be much longer until he's back on patrol.
I'm still on light duty as of right now. I'm waiting for this final doctor to give me the okay. I'll see him. I had the test last week that he was wanting, and I'll see him next week to actually talk to him about that, because he's looking over everything. And then once he clears me on that, I should be good to go as far as back to being back to full duty and all that.
For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Good afternoon. The time is 4:50, and you are tuned in to Mountain Edition from Morehead State Public Radio. Coming up next, Sean Delaney has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Jackson may be back soon. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report, and I'm Sean Delaney. The Bengals' first-round pick may be back sooner than expected. Head coach Marvin Lewis told reporters this afternoon that cornerback William Jackson III will undergo surgery to reattach a torn pectoral muscle. Jackson did not wish to speak to the press, but Lewis says Jackson is optimistic that he may be able to return sometime within the regular season. In other NFL news, ESPN is reporting that the San Francisco 49ers have re-signed linebacker Navarro Bowman to a four-year, $44 million contract extension. Bowman led the NFL with 154 tackles last season. The Tennessee Titans have signed former linebacker Tim Shaw, who's battling Lou Gehrig's disease, to a special one-day contract to allow him to be a, quote, Titan for life. And the New York Giants have signed former Bengal Leon Hall. The deal is 1 year and worth up to $2 million. The Morehead State football team is getting down to the business of preparing for the 2016 season. Coach Rob Tenier's freshman players reported to Jane's Stadium earlier today to start preseason training camp.
Some of those will help us, you know, from a necessity standpoint. Some will redshirt, and some will, you know, wait till the third or fourth game to play. But I'm really excited about that group. I think it's very talented.
The Eagle veterans will join the freshmen in camp tomorrow. MSU will have just less than a month to prepare for their season opener at James Madison on September the 3rd. The Louisville football team is starting its preseason practices. Coach Bobby Petrino says the Cardinals had a good summer, getting a lot of important work done.
We're a much stronger football team than we've been. I think we're a faster football team than we've been. And I really like the way our leadership was over the summer. And our team chemistry, and I feel like we got a team that really likes each other. We got a team where we have leaders from within, which always, I believe, give you a chance to have a special team.
The Cardinals open at home with Charlotte on September the 1st. They finished last year at 8-5, including a Music City Bowl game win over Texas A&M. Auburn football coach Gus Malzahn says the running back Jovan Robinson has been dismissed from the team. He reportedly did not meet Malzahn's standards for being a Tiger. The coach, though, has refused to elaborate. Switching now to baseball news, Brendan Phillips had three hits and left-hander Brandon Finnegan allowed one hit in six innings this afternoon, leading the Cincinnati Reds to a 7-0 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals. The Reds took 2 of 3, giving them only their fifth series win in the last 23 between their NL Central rivals. Overall, the Reds have won all six series since the All-Star break. Phillips had a single and a pair of doubles, scored three times, and drove in a run against his former teammate Mike Leake. Ramon Cabrera drove in three runs, and Eugenio Suarez knocked in a pair. There were several other MLB games today. At last check, the Indians trounced the Twins 9-2 in Cleveland. Kansas City was in Tampa Bay. The Rays beat them 3-2. The Giants and the Phillies went into extra innings in Philadelphia. The Giants came out on top 3-2. And the White Sox and the Tigers just finished up. Chicago won in Detroit 6-3. Visiting Lexington Wednesday, former Kentucky basketball star Carl Anthony Towns led a news conference to talk about his first season in the NBA. The league's rookie of the year, the forward, averaged over 18 points and 10 rebounds a game for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Towns said on Kentucky.com that his goal is now to help the Timberwolves end their 12-year playoff drought.
The fan base there is great. They love sports. And it's up to us to give them that excitement. You know, it's up to us to execute on the court and produce so we can bring that excitement back to Minnesota the way it was when KG was first there.
KG is Kevin Garnett, who joined the Timberwolves in the mid-1990s. The last time the Timberwolves made the NBA playoffs was 2004, when they made it to the Western Conference Finals. The University of Louisville women's basketball team is about to make history. Here's Will Clark.
We will be the first women's basketball team to go there. So we're making sure we're documenting everything that we do.
Head coach Jeff Wall says the team will spend a week in Cuba playing three games against Cuban national teams. Wall says there'll also be a full team salsa dancing class.
Everybody signed up to take some lessons. It's about a two-hour course, and from what we've been told, it's pretty intense.
The trip starts Friday. I'm Will Clark.
A former athletic director at Northern Kentucky University has been released from prison, serving 2 years of a 10-year sentence. Finally, here's Sharon Carroll.
Former NKU athletic director Scott Eaton had previously pleaded guilty to embezzlement charges regarding the theft of over $30,000 from the university. The thefts were discovered after he was fired for ethics violations. NKU paid $200,000 to an employee to settle a sexual harassment claim against him. I'm Shannon Carroll.
I'm Sean Delaney for Morehead State Public Radio Sports.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with 6 home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and the Virginia Military Institute at 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed flat despite a rise in oil prices as Wall Street looked ahead for Friday's jobs report, and the Dow Industrials finished with a small loss of 2.95 at 18,332.05. The S&P 500 was up 0.46 at 2164.25, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 6.51 at 5166.25. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 12 in favor of winning stocks over losers. U.S. oil settled 2.7% higher at $41.93 a barrel a day after surging more than 3% amid a drawdown in gasoline inventories. This morning, it was announced from the Bank of England that the central bank there was cutting interest rates, and that caused U.S. futures to jump very nicely before the opening, and that also translated into strength in Europe in their equity markets, as European equity markets were up broadly, with the Financial Times 100 gaining about 1.6% and the German DAX advancing over 0.5%. In Asia, shares rose overnight with the Nikkei 225 gaining just over 1% and the Shanghai Composite rising 0.13%. Gold futures for December delivery settled $2.70 higher at $1,367.40. And among Dow stocks today, your best performers were Visa and Intel, and your worst performers among the Dow Industrials were Disney and Home Depot. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Ball Corporation and Harman International. Your S&P 500 losers were CF Industries and First Solar. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 5 cents at $113.85. CSX down 15 cents at $28.05, AEP up 19 cents at $68.64, Marathon Petroleum down 60 cents at $40.62, and AK Steel was down 5 cents to finish at $6.17. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at your weather, tonight's going to be mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms and lows around 70 degrees. Friday will be partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs in the upper 80s. And Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid 80s. Your temperatures, it's 89 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg, it's 86 in Inez, Winchester is at 91 degrees, and Lexington and Moorhead are both sitting at 90 degrees.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Dane Contney, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, from WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Network, Shannon Carroll. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Tanner Boyd for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.
Thank you.